found, we really didn't have much. But more important than all of that was what we did have, a big split right down the middle of the congregation. There were two factions in the church, and some of the people didn't even really speak to each other. I finally told the board chair, "We can't put up a billboard. We aren't ready for new people to come to our church. We'd be inviting them to come join a congregation with people who don't really like each other." It's amazing I didn't get fired, but sometimes we have to call it like we see it. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I don't have to tell you that we live in a highly polarized society. I don't have to tell you that families and neighbors have been fighting with each other. I don't have to tell you that systemic injustices have been dividing us for centuries. And the truth is, the United States of America is not the first society to be riddled with brutal conflict. As an example, my daughter is taking a class right now in ancient Greece, and she's been reading about the conflict between the Athenians and the Spartans. The bitter arguments between the leaders of Athens sound eerily familiar. Perhaps the most basic of all human sin is our tendency to be competitive, to divide ourselves, to view our siblings as other, as enemies. We see this sin of othering throughout social and political history, not only in large-scale military conflicts, but in small, petty bickering and demeaning language. It wears down our spirits and robs us of joy. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Imagine walking into a community where there was none of that. No put-downs, no hate speech, no insults or threats or gripes or gossip. Imagine walking into a community where the people smiled when they saw each other, rejoicing in each other's presence. Imagine walking into a community where people apologize when they made a mistake or acted badly. Imagine walking into a community where joy and grace and love abound, where you feel the stress just melt off of you because you know you are safe and welcome. You can let down your guard. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I've told a few of you a story from my first time directing junior high school church camp. The campers arrived, I went over the rules, we went to lunch, and then we came back for what was going to be my first keynote address. Right before I started, a sixth grader that I'll call Charlie, he looks up at me and he cries, "Are you going to bore us to death again?" Now, it never feels good to be on the receiving end of such an insult. But that seemed to be the only communication style that Charlie knew. Over the next few days, Charlie tried to pick fights with just about everyone. He called us names, he complained about the food and the weather and all the activities. But you see, this was church camp. Most of the campers and counselors had been coming here for years. And they knew it as a place of love, of true Christian community. So nobody took Charlie's bait. Nobody fought him back. Nobody insulted him back. Nobody slapped Charlie or yelled at him or called him names. We just sympathized and encouraged him and tried our best to express love. It was the most beautiful expression of Christian community that I've ever been a part of. But poor Charlie, he didn't know what to do when people didn't fight back. By Thursday, Charlie was so disoriented by people being nice to him that he spent the entire day in bed sick. Counselors kept going in to check on him, to sit with him, to care for him, to ask if he needed food. And then on Friday morning, Charlie came running down the hill to greet me, big smile on his face. All day long, he volunteered to help. He gave people hugs. He welcomed their love. And on Saturday morning, Charlie was in tears, so sad to be leaving. But what's really special is 1 year later, when his church bus pulled into the campground, before it even came to the stop, the door opened, Charlie jumped out, he raced over, and he leapt into my arms and gave me this huge hug. I never did learn much about Charlie's home life, but it was clear that his life had been changed, transformed by an experience of true Christian community. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. When you walk into your church, do you feel that? Do you feel all of your stress and fear just melt away because you are in true Christian community? Do you let down your guard, the protective walls that you carry around with you all week long? Do you relax and open yourself up to God's presence because you know you're among people who love you just as you are? People often ask me what they can do to grow their church. And the first thing I say is just be a church worthy of the name. Be a church where people know that you are disciples of Jesus Christ because they can see your love for each other. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. My friends, our world is so in need of the healing presence of God's love. Our world is so in need of communities that radiate love. I know it's hard to be loving in the face of threats and insults. I know it's hard to love people who think and act and vote differently than you do. But remember that the person who so long ago gave us this new commandment, remember his experience. Judas betrayed Jesus. The disciples deserted Jesus. The authorities arrested Jesus. They beat him and insulted him and hung him on a cross to die. But the whole time, Jesus responded to them with love. 2,000 years later, his love lives on. And those who dare to call themselves followers of Jesus, disciples of Christ, are called to do our best to embody his love. By this, he said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. God bless you all. Dios les bendiga.